I'd like to go out like a slow-cooked gammon, 8 hours in cider.
Ladies and gentlemen, to those among you who are easily frightened, we suggest you turn away now. To those of you who think they can take it, we say, welcome to the madhouse.
Welcome to the Madhouse Podcast with Jimmy and Joey, the will-they-won't-they couple of the podcast world, as in, will they ever make a decent episode, and won't they please just shut the f*** up? This one's Joey, and that one's Jimmy, and the answer to both those questions are no, and let me check again, no again. This is a one-off special episode, not the good tingle-in-my-pants kind of special, but the getting away with being rude in public because people assume you don't know any better kind of special, but still special nonetheless. Because we are redoing the very first episode we ever made, and the rules we made for ourselves were that we could watch the film again, but not listen to our previous episode on the film, which is a puzzle. This was an emailed-in suggestion by a person who actually hasn't said I can say their name, so I'll change it. So thanks to Benjamin, I guess. That's foolproof. I was going to guess that guy's name. Jimmy, how have you been?
Yeah, I'm all right. What was this guy's second name? But obviously you can't say it.
He didn't give one. It was
just Benjamin.
That's what we're saying. Benjamin.
Right. Okay. So just checking.
Yeah, no one's going to guess his first name from that. Anyway, right?
Yes, I'm all right. Actually, yes. Are you?
I'm very good. I'm aware that we've both been manly men, proper manly men, recently, because we've been both to sports ball concerts.
Yes, the sports. What sports did you go to see?
I went to see Forest play Man United. Manchester United.
Wow, that's proper sporty. Football. Get the ball in the goal hole. Oi, oi, the lads.
That's the same chant I made up for the game.
Brilliant. Where was that at?
City Ground in the famous city of Nottingham.
Oh, right. Okay. Lovely. Is that what it's called, City Ground, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
World famous City Ground.
Is it world famous?
Well, that's what they say. I've never been anywhere else and asked.
Okay.
Where did you go?
I went to watch the Harlem Globetrotters play the Washington Generals.
How was it?
Yeah. Very good. I do like a bit of men's netball. It's very good.
Yeah. I've never seen a men's netball match.
Have you not? I used to go quite a lot with my dad back in the day. We used to go see London Towers quite a lot in Wembley Arena. It was very good. But yeah, Harlem Globetrotters, very good, very funny.
Nice.
Good cider, but expensive.
Oh, okay. What cider was it?
We drank... Actually, I tell a lie, it wasn't good. It was inches. It's too sweet for me, but we still necked it's... down like 3 pints each.
It's a mid-range cider. It's not terrible.
Bit too sweet for me.
Yeah,
I like it dry. I like my women. I like it dry.
Oh,
short and dry.
Is that your and that's double act? Right, should we do a booze review because you've mentioned booze, so I think we have to.
Yeah, I think you've been knocking it out of the park lately, haven't you?
Yeah, series 2, I did pretty well for myself.
Yeah, I think I've got a pretty good one, so I think you should go first.
Oh, okay. Well, I forgot to get any special booze for this review, but luckily Sam went to the shop earlier and I asked her to pick me up whatever she wanted, and this is the bounty she provided. Cherry Long Island iced tea.
Oh, okay.
3 cans, but these bag boys are all going in a glass. So
nice. Three for a fiver. Or 3 for £6, I believe.
I think it was 3 for 6, yeah.
Yeah, 3 for 6.
I've never had a Long Island Long Island iced tea. There we go.
What's the old percentage on the side of that then? I'd like to know. He's trying to find it.
4.
You see, Historically, that's quite a strong cocktail, isn't it? The old Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, this doesn't taste strong at all.
No, what's the verdict then? Let's have a look at it. What colour are we going? It's in a purple can, isn't it? Oh, okay, looks all right. Yeah, looks all right. Just looks like watery Coke.
Looks like carbonated whiskey. Anyway.
What does it taste like?
Kind of cherry-y.
Okay.
Very, very sweet. I can't think of the word. Fake sweet.
Oh, yeah. You've had a few fake sweet ones, haven't you? That time you did the six canner.
Oh, this is going to be a piece of piss compared to the night of six cans.
The night of six cans.
It's like drinking Willy Wonka's ejaculate, probably. I mean, I would guess.
I imagine it'd be more thicker, creamier, chocolatey, like the river. Oh, yeah, the river in the factory. I bet that's all his jizz. Or his poo. Or his poo-poo.
He calls it his Augustus Gloop.
Wow. Right.
Right, what have you got then?
So, I was going to drink it out of an interesting receptacle, but I couldn't even bring myself to drink out of it. I was going to rock up here and drink out of a Ravenclaw mug, just a mug. But right. I can't drink an alcoholic drink out of a mug.
Fair enough.
Because that's just the mark of a fucking insane person. So I'm going to drink it out of the butterbeer mug.
Okay. Now a classic Madhouse staple.
Yeah, it is. And I think this is going to go with it perfectly well, because I don't think anybody has drunk the correct drink out of it so far.
Oh.
I'm sure you'll agree. So I was down up in lovely York the other day, and I picked up a bottle of real butterscotch beer.
Wow.
So it's called Enchanted Real Butterscotch Beer.
Is it an
it's
actual
the tastiest
beer?
Of them all. Yes, beer. It's alcoholic. It doesn't have a serving suggestion. You know I like a serving suggestion. It just says, magical potions have been brewed on Shambles, York since the 14th century by Phileas Fry, based on an ancient magical recipe. These potions are once again being brewed, and our real butterscotch beer is the only fix for brave wizards who are over 18 and can handle the enchanting effects. Please drink these potions responsibly, as their magical content should not be taken lightly by inexperienced wizards who have never before dabbled with the dark arts of alcohol.
Oh, wow, that's quite a blurb. But
it is, but I'm a seasoned professional, sir. So,
wow, see, I've had a butter beer before, but it's always just a carbonated soft drink, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it smells nice.
I nearly leant forward to sniff that then. Forgot you're on a Zoom call.
It's butterscotchy. Oh, butterscotch. It's got, like, I do like a serving suggestion, so I've got to leave a little bit in the bottle for that, which has pissed me off a bit.
Just wean it.
I'm not going to wean it. Just got to know if it tastes like butterscotch. Look at that, though.
That looks like real butterbeer.
I was going to tip it, because it's got a bit of a head on it. Like butterbeer.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have a little sip here. Let's see what it tastes like. Whoa, that's beery and butterscotchy.
Hits like all that. The points then, doesn't it?
It does. Oh, I think it's just better out of the mug.
What shop was that tankard from?
It's the shop that cannot be named. No, it wasn't. I tell a fucking lie. It wasn't. We went to Hole in Wand. Mini golf.
Wow.
And we did 9 holes. It was brilliant. But Nat got me this thing for my birthday, and you get like £20 gift card. So I got a little bottle of Wizard Rum, and I got a bottle of that, and a nice little tote bag.
Nice. York's really leaning into the Harry Potter thing, isn't it? Last time I was
there, milking it.
Went down the Shambles. Yeah. Every shop was, not everyone, lots of the shops were Harry Potter based.
Yeah, they're milking it. They're milking it basically for that one bit.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I liked it.
Yeah, it's really nice down there. One day, another fad will come along and they might go for that.
Well, I mean, they've got a bit of a claim, haven't they? Didn't they use the train station in the first two films?
I have no idea. I just know the Shambles looks like Diagon Alley.
But yeah, that was supposedly inspired Diagon Alley. And I see it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I went there. When I went there last, it was about 2 a.m. and I was drunk.
Cool. Well, I went about 5 o'clock in the evening and I was drunk. So it's the same kind of vibe.
Just a bit darker when I went.
Yeah, fair enough. That's true. You probably didn't have to fight your way through all the tourists, but I was a tourist. Hey, oh, never mind.
You can pretend you're not a tourist, though, can't you? And be like, oh, I'm a bloody tourist.
You can do that. That's a good idea. That's a good show, actually.
Right,
undercover tourism. You just go round the tourist event, pretending that you actually live there. Oh, bloody tourist. That's a great. Oh, that's a fucking TV show. Yeah. Undercover tourism.
You have to learn some facts about the place before you go, so you can try and blend in.
Yeah. Always dress how the people in that town dress. Learn the accent as well.
Yeah.
Just walk around like you belong.
It's you walking around shambles going, Expelliarmus!
Yeah, it's me walking around the Colosseum in a toga.
You walk around Yorkshire in your flat cap complaining about prices. And gentrification.
Yeah, but I'm really just there to see the tourist attraction.
Yeah. Yeah,
good. This, definitely. I mean, it writes itself.
I'm going to go to Devon and complain about all the second home buyers killing the town. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. God, I'm sick of eating all these Cornish pasties,
bastards.
Tintagel, just a f-ing shit castle.
Right, should we do some film facts?
Yes, why not?
So the film's Apostle, and we first recorded an episode on Apostle in like 2018. So we're doing it again now. Because we reckon we're a lot better than we were then.
Well, okay, why not?
Hopefully. So, Apostle was released in 2018 and was written and directed by Gareth Evans. Jimmy, did it lose money? Or
I've got no idea.
Did they sacrifice enough to get a good yield?
Oh, very good. I'm sorry I interrupted you there. I thought that was the end of your thing. I didn't realise you were doing a little jape.
Always doing a little jape.
I know, I should have known. I don't know, actually.
Well, let's assume it made some money.
Literally, I don't know. Because I was looking on IMDb. I can't see anything about money.
There is nothing on IMDb or Wikipedia I could see about money. And this was also picked up by Netflix for a Netflix release, so there won't be any kind of box office.
That's it. Didn't we mention this before? Wasn't it going straight to Netflix?
I have no idea.
Wasn't it a straight to Netflix film, I think?
Maybe. I was surprised watching this, what I could remember that we talked about the first time we did it. But I haven't listened to it since we recorded it, so.
No.
I don't know.
Well, I get the rewatching the film, I will tell you now, is probably better than re-listening to the first episode.
Oh. 100%, definitely.
We had a lovely day.
We had a nice day. Had a few
We were in the kitchen and it was a Saturday afternoon, if I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
It was good. Yeah.
Good memories.
And that was before you started drinking on the episodes.
Was it? That's probably what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, because I thought, I needed a couple to get me going and get me a bit lively. And you didn't have you weren't. You were being all profesh.
Yeah, I think I might have been worried about slurring or something, thinking back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then afterwards you were like, I think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
And then I literally think it was from Child's Play at the second episode. I think we started having a couple of bevvies.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't take long for me to start getting into the swing of drinking while recording.
No.
And I think we used to do a massive long plot slot back then, but now we just do the gist of it, which I'm ready to go for if you're ready to have a listen.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. It's 1905, and this woman gets stolen and held for ransom after being taken over to a secluded island full of dodgy cultists that are all pricks. But pricks you kind of want to like, because their leader's played by Michael Sheen, and he's a complete legend of a nice guy IRL. Anyway, the stolen woman's brother, Thomas, goes to save her, and blends in with the cult's new arrivals, resulting in a man being murdered in his place. In one night on the island, Thomas sees the cult members letting blood and two teens on their way back from sexy time on the beach. I'm sure both of those things won't be relevant at all in a horror film. The teenage girl's father is for some reason looking through a peephole in an outdoor shithouse, probably in hopes of seeing her take a dump or whatever, but is disappointed when he sees her checking with a mirror to see if she's preggers, through some mythical lady knowledge I'm blissfully unaware of, like full-body orgasms or where the f*** clitoris is. He can see from her face that she is clearly right up the muffly Dufflington. Bad news on an island where all the livestock's given birth to f***ed up devilish monster babies that die in minutes. But don't worry, there's a party in town. Yay! Where a cult that has no food's gonna eat all their food in the hopes of searching the new arrival's empty rooms to find the intruder and take the ransom he's meant to have brought with him so they can replace all the food they've just wasted in a frivolous attempt to find him, or something, I think. Thomas blackmails the boning teen boy into helping him find his sister, and after seeing him swimming through a river of blood or chased by some old woman, finding an old cave system with weird old drawings in it, we find out that Chasey Odd Woman, with a taste for the creamy red stuff, is connected to the island and the bloodletting is only to bloody feed her in return for good crops. And she has a freaky helper dude as well. Father of the pregnant teen is not happy that she's going to pop out a sprog with twisted flesh and tries an impromptu abortion, but actually kills her. Then he sets up Humpy Teen Boy for an execution by blaming his daughter's death on him. What a c**t. Oh, and that boy was actually the son of one of the other founding cultists, and now he wants to kill the weird old lady goddess because now things have gone a bit too far. But he gets splattered by a weird helper dude who's standing guard with a shotgun. Thomas breaks into the barn where the goddess is held and finds his sister and kills weird goddess helper dude, but not before being knocked out and tortured on a stretchy, crunchy, breaky, bony rack first. Turns out the father of the pregnant teen trapped and imprisoned the goddess and force-fed her blood because of her connection to the island and its fertility. Thomas burns her to death, but it seems like she was well up for it at that point, so it's all good. Thomas kills the daughter-murdering, boning team scapegoat creationist man, and saves his sister as well as his love interest that I haven't actually mentioned yet, and the island is abandoned apart from Tommy Boy, who dies before he can get away. We are left with a shot of him bonding with the earth on the island and becoming the new god of the island. The end.
Lovely.
It's a nice little story, that, isn't it?
It's a nice little story. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, that was a hard one to write.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep these gists of it crammed into the little sound snippet we have that goes in the background of them. And I'm going to take some editing.
Hooray!
Yeah. Right. We're going to take a break, aren't we? Because we've got to come back to Frights and Delights.
Okay. Right, here we go. We're going to crawl through the bloody watery shit underneath the cabins and try and find the Frights and Delights.
It is. It is Frights and Delights. And this film's list of interesting facts sounds like an old-timey blues guitarist.
Lovely.
It's Slim Pickens.
Slim Jim Pickens.
And I mean it as well. This was tough. Nearly made stuff up. There were a few mistakes in the film. These include the use of red plastic shotgun shells in 1905. I don't think so. Everyone knows they weren't around till the 1960s. Thank you very much.
Okay.
They've also got proper modern makeup on a face of a religious cultist in 1905. I don't think that makes sense either. A man with an opium addiction in 1905. No, actually, yeah, I'll give him that one. That seems relevant. That seems right, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We'll go with that one. Yeah. The other two, though, yeah.
These are both very good points. I also didn't know it was 1905, this film, so that's mental.
Someone else also had some modern soles on their shoes. Not that I want to drop the mic too early in the podcast.
Who was that?
The bony teen boy.
Oh, Jeremy.
Jeremy, that's it, yeah. Oh, Jeremy. Right, number two. Coming up next, it's old Slim Pickens again. The dictionary defines an apostle as a vigorous and pioneering advocate or supporter of a particular policy, idea, or cause. So that's number two, I know. That's exciting.
Fuck.
Number three. I liked a lot of the imagery in this film. When the new recruits were walking up the hill towards the settlement, the mast of a ship they are salvaging wood off looks like a crucifix on the hill. like when Jesus got whacked. Get it?
Yeah!
Yeah?
Yes!
When Thomas was being tortured in his past flashback job bit, he was begging for the Lord's help, which never came. Then in the height of his burning back rage pain, the crucifix that was on fire in front of him fell at the same time as his faith. Get it?
Oh!
Because his faith has fallen, and so has the crucifix.
That's good. That is good, though.
It was good, yeah. Number four.
Pardon me.
Get ready for this one. It's going to blow your mind.
Okay. Shit. I'll sit down.
It was shot in Port Talbot, Wales.
Yes.
Good factor. As I said, it's a... It's Slim Pickens. There's fuck all to talk about. They shot a film. Apparently it all went swimmingly without a hitch and no events worthy of future mention in interviews or anything ever happened.
Lovely.
Nice little musical interlude.
It was interesting.
I've saved the best facts for last.
Oh, shit.
I've seen this film 3 times.
That's the fact.
If anyone has seen it more than me, then well done.
I think I'm on three.
I watched it twice when we did this episode first, and then yesterday.
Actually, I think you might be winning. I think I only watched it once the first time, and then I've watched it again. So I think you've won that.
Well, what a rush that section was.
Oh, Matt, it was uncontrollable excitement.
I was getting mad up in here, but it's time for Jimmy's Day Release to take us swiftly away from that abysmal, atrocious list.
Yeah, I will, but I just want to say that the filming, Nat did say to me, she was like, oh, where's this filmed? And I was like, oh, it's filmed in Venezuela. She didn't question it. She hasn't questioned it yet. So hopefully that little nugget is just sitting in her brain. So then maybe one day, maybe it won't. Maybe nothing will come of it.
Yeah.
Maybe it will. But then one day, and maybe someone, you know, it'll pop up and go, oh, I like this Apostle film. And she'll go, oh, do you know it was filmed in Venezuela?
No.
Fuck off. It's Port Talbot, you tit.
It looks nothing like Venezuela.
I know, but she didn't question it at the time. Literally, it's brilliant.
Did you tell her that Samuel L. Jackson was playing Michael Sheen playing Prophet Malcolm?
No, I've milked that one too much. I'm going to have to give it like a good 2 years before I mention that again.
All right, okay. Right, please, let's just do Jimmy's Day Release so I can forget about that list and move on with my life.
Okay, so the very first time I remember, I think I did medieval torture devices because they use in this film what they called the Heathen's Stand. The Heathen's Stand.
Yes.
Bring out the Heathen's Stand, which is more like a heathen's bed.
Yeah, that's pretty good memory, can I say, that you can remember that you did that.
Yeah. This time I was going to do it and try and do a bit something different, but I can't really remember. So I'm going with punishments. Unusual punishments.
Okay.
So the first one's pretty obvious.
Naughty step.
It's just rat torture.
Oh, okay.
Apparently it lives on in the minds of creative types, as it's obviously we've all seen it featured in numerous TV shows and films. In this terrifying form of torture, a hungry or diseased rat is placed in a bucket on the victim's bare stomach or chest. The bucket is then heated from the outside and the agitated rat chews its way through the unfortunate person's flesh and any organs it happens to encounter on its way. Delicious.
Delightful.
Ooh, I don't really like this butterbeer now. It's a bit much for me.
Mine's getting sweeter by the sip, which I'm not a fan of.
Now, I think I quite like this way. So this is boiling. Nowadays, boiling alive is a fate reserved for shellfish, but centuries ago, it was a common method of execution from East Asia to England. The condemned was stripped and then placed in a vat or pot of boiling liquid, usually water, oil, or tar. I'd go for water, my choice. What would you say, oil or tar?
Ah, water, oil, or tar?
Go crispier if it's oil, or would you? Would it soak you up? I don't know. Worse.
I don't know. Whichever one does the job quicker, I suppose, if it's going to happen.
Oh, okay. I'm saying water. You go for tar then.
Yeah, why would you go for water?
Because I like a bath.
Okay.
For a more gruesome experience, the offender could be placed in cool liquid and then heated to boiling. Records from the reign of Henry VIII show that some people were boiled for up to 2 hours before they finally died.
Whoa. Is that from cold water to hot? Wouldn't that be better than just being
cold? Cold water to hot.
What's better?
I think going from cool to hot is better than just being dumped in boiling hot. That's why it takes so long.
But did you just say that was the worst torture?
Yeah, I think so, because it takes so long. That's Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think if you get dumped into boiling water, you're going to go into shock.
Yeah.
Aren't you? You're only going to last, what, I don't know. How long does a soft-boiled egg take? 6 minutes? You're only going to last 6 minutes until someone's got soldiers out. And they're dipping it in your brain head, your egg yolky head.
Oh, I bet it's really hard trying to, like, get it so it's, like, runny in the inside still in your head when they want to dip the soldiers in. Actual soldiers as well, probably in medieval times.
Yeah, probably. Dipping them nuts in. Dipping their dicks in. Soldiers! Maybe that's where it comes from! Soldiers! They look like willies.
You're putting the willies
and they're putting them in the heads of prisoners.
In the ultimate symbol of fertility. An egg.
Yeah. Wow. I'd like to go out like a slow-cooked gammon, 8 hours in of cider.
Oh, you just want the meat falling off. You know, like the smaller bone. Parts of your body, like the arm, would like start meat falling off first, so you could actually taste your own slow-roasted self.
Oh, delicious. Right. I'm getting hungry.
I would go for the cold water to boiling because...
Yeah.
I'd just stick my head under the water and breathe in all the water and drown really quick.
That's cool. Isn't it difficult to drown yourself, though? Like, isn't there some sort of reaction where you just go, no, I can't
You could give it.
It
a go, though, couldn't you? And if it failed, you'd be dead soon anyway.
You could.
You're not disappointing anyone.
Okay, right. Here we go. This one is Ling Chi. We've all heard of this. Ling Chi, also known as slow slicing. Or death by a thousand cuts, was a method of torturous execution practiced in China. The condemned was tied to a post and bits of skin and limbs were gradually removed one by one, usually culminating in a final cut to the heart or decapitation. It was used as early as the 10th century and continued for nearly 1,000 years, and luckily it was banned in 1905. Boom, wow. There's the link.
1905, where they turned to drilling the head.
Yeah, the heathen bed.
Yeah.
What they should have done is combined those two, the Ling Chi and the boiling. So the cooking of the meats and then the slow slicing of the meats.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Combine the two. Delicious, delicious, delicious.
When they say they boil someone to death, what they really mean is they're making a broth.
Yeah, they're making a broth.
Yeah. Mm.
Ramen. Pop some noodles in there. Human ramen! Human ramen.
Yeah. Weird.
Right, we'll come back in a minute.
Okay, yeah, we've run out of time. Yeah. Right. I thought you'd just had enough.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. That's it.
I'm off to boil
I'm
now.
I'm done. Boil myself. Okay, so this one's got a funny little name, which I quite like. I think you'll enjoy it. This punishment, or slash execution, actually. It's not a punishment because it ends in death. This one's called the Upright Jerker.
Oh, I know that game.
Yeah. Sadly, it's got nothing to do with masturbating. But anyway, the Upright Jerker was an interesting twist on a classic execution method, hanging. While it is true standby all around the world, leaves much to be desired in terms of effectiveness. Depending on the weight of the person... slash rope, slash trapdoor, and numerous other factors, it can be a very slow, awkward way to die, the old hanging, because they don't always get it right the first time, as we all know. So what do you think the natural solution is? Well, let's do it backwards. So the upright jerker was a modified hanging system that they used heavy weights and pulleys to quickly jerk the condemned into the air. And it was hoped that this would be more effective way to break the neck quickly. But apparently it didn't always work as planned.
So what does it do?
So you stand there, they put a thing around your neck, and then with heavy ropes, instead of going through a trap door, mm-hmm. like how they hang someone and let you hang there with your body weight.
Yep.
They thought, nah, this is rubbish. So they thought they'd do a thing where you'd stand there, they put weights and stuff on a pulley, put that, they drop that, and that would lift you up into the air.
All right.
And that would break your neck. But what they should have done is what I'm thinking is they should strap your feet to the floor.
Oh, bloody hell. Rip your head off.
Yeah, exactly. More effective and humane, like you do with a chicken.
The upright jerker method would be more effective than hanging if the force pulling upwards due to the weights was more than 1G, which is Earth gravity.
Nerd.
No, not more than 1G, because your acceleration due to gravity is like 9.8 meters a second, I think.
Ah, a nerd, and you got it wrong.
So it would have to... No, I got it right. There's just an extra variable I'm thinking of.
Nerd. Okay. This one is called... I think you'll guess the method by the title that I've called this. It's called Crushed by Elephant.
Is that where they hang you by your penis?
Almost. This is a weirdly specific method of execution, but you can't argue with its effectiveness. As you might guess, it was common in areas... Well, I don't know why you might guess.
Scotland?
As you might guess. Yeah, Scotland, indeed. It was common in areas where elephants are naturally found, primarily in South and Southeast Asia. Elephants were often trained in order to ensure the trampling was as brutal as possible. So you can imagine there's a lot of squishness.
Yeah, that sounds like there's going to be no clear-up afterwards. You just quick get your watering can on there, wash it away.
No. So I'm going to finish off quickly...
That's disgusting.
...with one that I think will fit us. What?
You're not finishing off quickly while you're on a Zoom call to me, mate. You can wait.
Oh, shit, have I got the wrong Zoom call?
Sorry.
Wait, this is our not. This isn't our Sunday night loving. What day is it?
This
it's Friday night podcast. Right, shit. Thought it was Sunday afternoon. Quick wank before watching a film and then eating a roast. Right. This one is befitted for us and a few of our friends, I'm sure. It's called the Drunkard's Cloak. Although some punishments were meant to harm the criminal, others were invented purely to embarrass the offender. That was the goal of the drunkard's cloak, which was used as a punishment for public drunkenness during the 16th and 17th century. The offender would have to wear the drunkard's cloak, which is a barrel with holes that allowed a person's head and his arms to stick out. The drunkard's cloak wasn't designed to harm the offender or otherwise impede movement, but a man walking around town wearing a barrel like a cloak was enough to teach him the importance of responsible drinking.
Is that why the robot in Futurama is called Bender? Because he looks like someone who's been out on a bender.
Yeah, possibly. And it literally would be like that well. You're correct. That's good shout. The drunkard also had to pay 5 shillings to the poor. That's fair. This tactic was so well received that it soon became a standard punishment in England. It began to spread across Europe as well when Germany adopted it. They called it the Stallmantel, which is coat of shame. There was also a nastier variant called the Spanish mantle, which more acted like a pillory, which I'm not sure what that is, than a cloak. While the offender was held in the barrel, he'd have to kneel in his own waist and depend on others to feed him if anyone was kind enough to offer food.
Nice. Well,
there you go.
Public drunkenness as well.
Yeah. It's always fun, isn't it? It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just japes. If they had that nowadays, like back in the day, I'd be in a drunkard's cloak every Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You just have your own.
Sunday
just,
afternoon.
Like, go out in it, save them putting it on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Customise it then, couldn't you?
You could, but then you'd have to go under the radar because they'd clock it if you customised it.
That's true, yeah. Well.
Well, there you go. Interesting, yeah. Interesting punishments, like the old heathen stand. Bring out the heathen stand.
What was your favourite punishment out of those five, or however many you just did?
Well, it was about five or six. I enjoy boiling, like we said. I enjoy a boil.
Yeah.
Good old human boil.
I just like the drunkard's cloak. I reckon I could pull my arms into that barrel thing and roll home.
Yes, because you're a little man. You could probably do that. Yeah. Maybe they have size-dependent barrels. So it might be tighter. Maybe you couldn't get your head in like a little tortoise, like a little drunken tortoise, and roll down the hill.
Popping up above the broom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still be good. I'll be right. I'd survive.
Right. Yeah. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's mosey on over, because it's time for the Master of the Macabre.
Oh, shit.
Master of the Macabre.
Welcome to the Master of the Macabre, where we choose the best performer from Apostle after a nice balanced discussion. how many choices do you have, Jimmy?
Well, I can't remember how many I had the last time. I'm sure from the very first episode, I probably would have just had one, which, well, obviously, it was probably Michael Sheen, wasn't it?
I don't know who you picked, because I haven't really listened
to it. No, I can't. I can't remember. But maybe, maybe two or three this time round.
Okay. I could have picked two or three, I think. But I kind of wanted to do that Michael Sheen intro.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I'll chuck out mine.
Okay.
I mean, I think Martin Sheen? Martin Sheen's not in this.
Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen's not in this, is he? Well, he might be. Michael Sheen, very good, obviously. Dan Stevens, he was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the main character, Thomas.
I
liked the dude who played Quinn.
Yep.
Mark Lewis Jones. He was good. I think now he, to me, is more of the Master of Macabre than Michael Sheen is. Sheen turns out to be more of a good guy. And I feel Quinn turns out to be a bit more of the bad, which is a bit more macabre.
Yeah, so if we take the title literally, Master of Macabre, you go for the macabre. But
yeah,
I think the way we usually interpret it is just best performance.
It is best performance, and I think Quinn was. I think Quinn did a good performance. I don't know why he's spying on his daughter through the keyhole.
Yeah, that was weird that he was there in the first place. You know,
yeah,
he was just looking
through.
Does he always look through?
Yeah. Like, is he waiting to do a jobby, or is he spying on his daughter?
She's been in there for a while, maybe, and he's like, God, we've got to get one on one toilet. Pretty teenagers.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, he could literally go in the bushes.
Yeah, he could go in the bushes.
But, yeah, but I think, why would you want to watch... No, why would you want to watch the daughter piss? I don't know. No,
or anyone
no.
piss. He's just thinking, oh, I've put this glory hole at eye height. That was a mistake.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ. Where's Michael Sheen? Why is he in here now?
Come on, give this a sheen.
Wow, took a time to settle that one. Actually, I take it back. I'm only putting two in because I actually didn't like Dan Stevens acting in this.
All right. I don't think he was bad.
I think he was a bit weird in it. He was doing some weird acting.
He was a vagrant, wasn't he? He was also an opium addict.
Yes, that's true. Go on. Who have you got on the old list?
I've got Michael Sheen, but if I was being honest, it would be Michael Sheen and the guy who played Quinn, whose name I can't remember, but I'll look up just in case we pick him.
Mark Lewis Jones played Quinn.
Okay.
Oh, it's a toughie. Michael Sheen was very good.
Michael Sheen was the better actor, but Quinn was scarier. Like, I hated that character. but
yes,
that
yes,
was the point.
Yeah.
You want to give it?
I just liked.
I think me and you back when we started would have given it to Sheen.
Yeah.
So
I think we did.
So let's give it Quinn this time.
All right, let's give it Quinn.
Yeah.
Dirty people, dad. People, dad.
Yeah.
It's the new name of a sitcom I'm writing.
Peephole Dad.
Peephole Dad. Peephole Dad. It's animated.
And it's not actually about a peephole. It's about a dad who can only pee on a pole. It's actually Peephole Dad, but people are going to get misinterpret the title and it's gonna cause problems.
Right. Let's give it to Mark Lewis Jones, who played Quinn. Congratulations. You are getting sent out a lovely little hand-carved wooden award of maybe
teenage girl peeing
of a little girl peeing
a teenage girl peeing didn't say little
right adult woman peeing
okay yeah consenting
yes
she's actually holding a document that is agreeing to the peeing
right beautiful let's move on right next up we have got that lovely sweet Madhouse rating system.
Who would have thought that Apostle would be our first and last episode?
Yeah, it took a turn. System. Also, I've been struggling with why the fuck this was called Apostle.
Well, luckily, I found the dictionary definition for you in Frights and Delights.
Yeah, but that's... I looked at the thing and it doesn't click to me. And I was like, why the fuck is this film called Apostle?
So, a vigorous and pioneering advocate or supporter of a particular policy, idea, or cause. So, he was an apostle of Christ when he went travelling. Yeah?
Yeah.
To spread the word. And the founders of this cult are apostles for that goddess.
Okay.
So, apostle could be Malcolm, I think, or Thomas.
Okay, so... So what I know is that it's now Thomas, it's Apostle Thomas, who was the one that called Jesus out on the bullshit. He didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was all bollocks, which is where you get, I don't know if you've heard the term, a doubting Thomas.
No.
Okay, so a doubting Thomas is somebody who doesn't believe something, and it comes from the one of Jesus' apostles, who is Thomas, who doesn't believe that Jesus... He kind of lost faith in the fact that Jesus actually resurrected himself, and it's that Thomas then lost faith in Christ.
Okay. Well, there we go.
So that made more sense to me, because the fucking first time we watched it, I had no idea why it was called Apostle. And this time I had no idea it was called Apostle. And then I read that and I was like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Doubting Thomas. He was an apostle. Right. Anyway.
So Thomas was one of the OG apostles.
He was an OG, yeah. He was just calling Jesus out on his bullshit. Come on, stop titting about, you prick.
Can't
you just
bullshit
sleep.
Bullshit,
you're on a
sir.
Bender. You were a bender and you were fucking passed out for 2 days.
Mate, I was totally crucified last night, man.
Right, anyway, first up, we've got tension and suspense.
Well, this one goes for more of a slow burn tension rather than the cheap jump scares, and I think it does it really well. Goddess Lady in the Bloodstream is a fantastic bit of tension and fear, a claustrophobia-inducing chase. And Quinn turning on his daughter is also a masterclass in acting and direction, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it gets one. For me.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You look doubtful, so I'll go for a half. If you're a doubtful Thomas, I'll go for a half.
I am a doubtful Thomas. No, I think... No, I do... No, I think you are right. I think you are right. It is a slow burn, which is good. It's a good thing to build up that tension, the old slow burn.
The purification process is tense enough to...
Yes, 100%.
That was minging.
One? We'll give it one.
Yeah, I'll give it one.
Right, next up we have... performance? Nope. gore and visual effects. Yay! Gore and visual effects.
It's got some good gore in there. It feels grimy and festering, which I quite like. The gore we see is never in so much detail that it ventures into torture porn territory, but it's the right amount to give you that doom and fear jumping out of the screen from the characters. The best scene in terms of gore is the purification scene where bone-in teen boy once again gets his bone screwed, but unfortunately for him, it's his skull bone and a real crank-powered screw.
Yes, and we only get to see the first little the tip. He puts the tip in first,
that's
doesn't
the best
he?
Best bit, isn't it?
Best bit, and then it goes away, and then he's finding it. Hard to crank.
Yeah, you see it from his
which is nice.
Feet view.
Yeah, which is nice because I don't think you really need to see it because it is a very, very big drill bit.
You see the
so
hole
you're right.
afterwards.
Yes, you do see the hole, but at the actual doing of it, you just see the effort, which I don't think you actually need to see it doing because, like you said, it's not torture porn, so you don't need to see it happening. But it's nice. You get the effect of how difficult it is getting through that f***ing skull.
Exactly.
And when Thomas is strapped to the old grinder and he loses his fingers.
Yeah.
And he's only got
good.
The pointer. But that's a good finger to be left with.
It is, yeah.
I'd rather be left with that. Than
was it his right hand or left hand?
Ooh, I don't know. It depends.
Just figuring out if he could still play slide guitar. Just
right. I was thinking of something else.
what was that?
His left hand. Left or right-handed. But you can learn, can't you? So.
Yeah, yeah. Or get a friend to help.
Exactly. I'd give it one for gore and visual effects. I think all the visual effects are very good. I did like.
So we'll give it one leftover finger.
Yeah, we'll give it one leftover finger. I did like. I don't know what his name is in this, but it's the guy with the beehive on his head.
I have no idea. I don't know if he had a name. I don't ever saw him credited.
No. We were just calling him, last night we were just calling him the Beehive guy.
I don't know what actually is on his head. It's like wrapped in something, isn't it?
I think it's just like, it's twigs or something, you know, because he's obviously her, like,
slave
or...
How does it eat?
Well,
these are the questions we want answered. Anyway, it's getting one for gore, is it?
I think he had a little mouthful.
A little mouthful. So we're giving it one for gore.
Yeah, we'll give it one for gore. Right, next up, we have... Is it performance?
Yes.
Fucking hell, I should read my notes.
I don't think there's a bad performance anywhere near this film, because I think every actor brings in some top tier fear acting. Michael Sheen is charismatic, even when he's being a misguided tosser.
Yeah.
So I think it has to have one for performance, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. That's just for Michael Sheen alone.
Yeah, but
I
think... You don't think anyone else was good, apart from Quinn, dude?
Quinn was okay, second place. The girl who played Andrea, she was good, she was okay. Jeremy was okay. Dan Stevens, not a big fan, don't like his face, don't like his voice. Struggling.
Yeah.
What if I was actually having a stroke then? You just laughed. That's going to be me done.
You'd be all right. If you kept it going for a bit longer than comedic value allowed, I'd call that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll go with what you're saying on this.
All right. That's 3 out of 5 leftover fingers.
Okay. Lovely. Oh, is it musical score, or do we not do that anymore?
No, we do.
Rhymed. Oh, musical score and sound effects.
I think we do, don't we? Well, we're doing it today.
Right, okay.
It's creepy. The soundtrack to this film blends very well with the dirty, bloody, grimy aesthetic of the visuals, and they just work well together. I don't remember it very much. Am I meant to, though?
Now, I'm going to go a different way and say there was a lot of this, and Nat actually did mention it, that she noticed that there was a lot of a soundtrack going on. It had all, loads of different weird noises and weird instruments throughout the whole thing, which is something kind of reminiscent of the films that you get back in the, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
So I do remember it, and I think actually it was pretty good. There was all the, you know what I'm talking about.
Do you want me to call that? Are you having a stroke again? No, I know what you mean. By not remembering it, I mean as in, like, there's no melody that sticks in my head.
Oh, no, it's just noise.
I don't think I'm meant to remember it because it was a theatrical soundtrack. It was for effects.
Yeah. So you're not going to be walking down the street humming it and someone's going to stop you and go, is that the Apostle theme that you're humming?
Yeah, exactly. It's not the Godfather.
Are you having a stroke? No, it's the Apostle theme, Mum. Apostle, what's that?
You're the guy walking down the street in the drunkard's cloak barrel going, what you wanted to do for music score sound effects then?
Well, I kind of do want to give it one because it was good, but I think we're getting a bit carried away with ourselves.
Okay. Well, we can sort out that out in overall experience, you know, because we can take one.
Right.
Away.
Well, let's give it one then for that.
It can hit the right marks. And still not be the best film in the world. That's why we have the take one, give one, leave it as it is overall.
Okay.
That's why the Madhouse rating system is the most best rating system in the world.
It's the most best.
We might not be able to put words in right order and stuff. But we know how to make a rating system.
Right. That's 4 out of bump so far. We have overall experience.
We could get embarrassed here because we could give it a score very different to the score we gave it last time, and we could prove that everything is absolutely pointless. We could have said it was a terrible film the first time. This time we could say it's the best good film ever.
I'm pretty sure we said it was the best good film ever when we watched it the first time.
I think that's what it says on the back, isn't it? Best good film ever.
Yeah.
The Telegraph. So you can't trust that.
Best good film ever, John, from Round Corner. Written on biro, posted through my letterbox. What are you doing?
Friends of Dan Stevens. Right. What? We're at 4 out of 5 leftover fingers. How many fingers would you give it?
I don't want to watch it again.
No, I don't want. I don't. No, I've seen it 3 times, as you may remember.
I liked it. I did like it, but I'm not the biggest fan of folk horror. It's not my go-to genre. I put that very low down on my list of things that I'd like to watch. I don't enjoy it. I don't really enjoy the early 19th century kind of stuff.
See, I quite like the folky horror, but I do think this film's probably a 3.5.
I think it's 3.5. I mean, it was okay. Actually, when we were watching it, I put it on, and now I was like, oh, we were about 10 minutes in, and she was like, oh, was this the film where the girl gets her head knocked off by the pole? I'm like, what? There's a girl gets her head knocked off by the pole. I was like, no, that's Hereditary.
Yeah, that was filmed in Mexico.
And she was like, well, what are we watching? I said, Apostle. And she was like, I thought you were doing your first episode again. I said, yeah, we are. We're watching Apostle. But she was like, is this not the film that the girl get her head knocked off by the pole? I was like, no, that's Hereditary. She went, I thought you were doing the first film. I was like, we were going round in a circle here. Why are we repeating ourselves?
It was a telephone pole, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a telephone pole, yeah.
Didn't have those in 1905.
Yeah, exactly. And then she went, yeah, I thought I didn't recognise this. I thought it wasn't that film. Fucking hell, it was like a good 5 minutes. We were going round in a circle.
Right, so are we taking away half a point here? And leaving
I would
and
like to give it 3.5 out of push.
Okay.
I don't like folk horror that much.
Okay. Right, let's move on. It's 3.5 out of 5. We're running out of Zoom time again.
Oh, shit.
But it's time for something that I don't think you've heard in a while.
Oh, why? What are we doing?
You ready for this?
No.
Listener mail.
Right, we haven't got any. See you later!
Yeah, I just wanted to hear the tune again. It's been ages. No, we have one. It's a very strange one.
Is it from Benjamin?
It's not that one, no. This is, I think, a piss take. But you know, we ask people to email in for the F word competition.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's the only email we got for that.
Oh, shit, brilliant. Okay, so remind everyone what the thing was again.
So in Jaws, we had a spot the f*** special where I bleeped out all the fucks except one that they had to see. Or did I, as this email points out. Now get ready for a weird email, Jimmy.
Okay.
Because just so you know how odd this is going to be, it's from someone who signed off as Pingle Blurp Flip de Whack. Senior Vice Chancellor of Little Pissington.
Yeah.
So someone gets our sense of humour. Right, it starts. Good evening, dear sirs. I hope this email finds you well and in good spirits, if not drinking a beverage by the same type. I don't really know what that means. Recently, you hosted a small competition regarding a rather filthy word that you were going to use in the episode. However, I was most shocked and aroused to find not one, not two, but three whole unbleeped fucks during the episode. Here is my documented timestamps of said expletives. Your scheduled F-bomb at 59.03, a slightly earlier mother F-bomb at 45.44, literally immediately after announcing the competition F-bomb at 2 minutes 24. And I didn't realise I'd missed any of them. Timing slightly different on Apple Podcasts, but taken off Podbean. So that sounds like some research went into that. There may well have been more, but locating them would require another re-listen. I have far better things to do with my time, like polishing my helmet twice an hour. In other news, I am over halfway through catching up with your older stuff, and while I have a few bones to pick with you, I will offer just two words for Jimmy's consideration this episode. French Canadians. I remember you having a bit of an issue with French Canadians.
Yep.
Don't remember what it was for. Do you remember why? Why do you have a problem with French Canadians?
I don't like them.
But there's a reason. There's got to be a reason, right?
Yeah, they're rude.
Okay.
They're just rude.
All right, we'll move on. If I do in fact win the competition, or you have, Pingle Blurp, because no one else emailed in, please say aloud right now your favourite King film, Joey. So I'll go for Carrie. And now we can have the same from Mr. Jimmy. Do you say your favourite film?
My favourite film?
Stephen King film adaptation.
Oh, my favourite Stephen King adaptation.
Yes.
Oh, shit. How long we got?
Just pick one. We haven't got long.
Oh, fuck. The Shining.
Okay, got those two.
But not Stanley Kubrick's one. This is the actual Stephen King television version.
Okay. Okay, now I'm going to find a coin. I don't have a coin. I do have the old badge. Yeah, it's doing Horrors badge.
Waited.
See, one side is Joey, the other side is Jimmy. Right, flip that shiny mother and when it lands, shove it up your arse, ignore both your choices and do Gene Cratcher.
Yeah, we could do Gene Cratcher. Yeah, you're right. It's a classic.
Yours in Spookums, Pinglebert, Flip the Wax, Senior Vice Chancellor of Little Pissington.
So, good day to you, sir.
Wasn't quite sure when I was reading the first time. Yeah, we can do Dreamcatcher first. We don't need to do an IMDb challenge, Jimmy.
Okay, so I'm going to put it back to the Kubrick Shining then, if we're going to flip a coin.
No, we're doing Dreamcatcher.
Oh, are we? What?
That's what the email says.
They get
They get to choose
yeah.
the film because they found the unbleeped F bomb. That was the whole point of the
conversation. Oh, okay. I zoned out.
No, we're not going to.
I'm sorry. Right, okay.
What I said was we don't need to do an IMDb challenge today because we're just going to go with Dreamcatcher as our first one, yeah?
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Right.
Fucking great.
That's episode one of series three, a.k.a. God Save the King, all films based on Stephen King. And we're done.
Lovely.
Thank you for listening to the Madhouse Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it right now. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And please, send your emails like Pingle Flap Floppy Don, or whatever his name was, did. To the Madhouse Podcast at Outlook.com, and we will see you whenever we decide to make another series. Bye!
Delicious! Delicious.
I'm going to go and listen to the old Apostle, like, tomorrow or something. The OG.
Yeah, I might give it a listen, actually. Yeah, I might have to give it a listen. I remember going back to Child's Play, because that was our second one, and Child's Play was good.
Was it?
Yeah, Child's Play was good, and Child's Play was funny, but I think the first one, it wasn't tip-top.
I remember being annoyed that you chose an Apostle. I was like, our first episode, I'm going to let Jimmy pick. He'll pick something classic.
You and picked easy. It.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I messaged you and you messaged back saying Apostle on Netflix and I went, oh, okay.
That's the other way round, wasn't it?
Nope.
I'm sure it's the other way round. I picked Child's Play.
No, I picked Child's Play.
No, I picked Child's Play.
Well, I'm going to listen to the episode.
You picked Apostle.
Now,
yeah. Right. You were like, this. There was this film on Netflix called Apostle.
I never knew of Apostle until you mentioned it.
I didn't either. It was you.
Oh,
and then I picked Child's Play.
Oh, well, we're going to have to settle this in Series 3.
Oh, yeah, obviously we're going to have to now.
Yeah. I remember thinking, oh, he's picked a film that's, like, really complicated for our first one.
No, that was you! Madness.
It is madness, but, I mean, you picked it.
I mean, it was a few years ago. It's like 5 years ago.
Do you reckon I can load it up on my laptop in the 1 minute on Zoom we've got? We can solve this right here, right now.
You don't need to solve it right here, right now. I already know the truth. I definitely picked Child's Play, so that was you.
Should I check Child's Play first?
No, because how did we used to do it? I think it was... You definitely text me, like, let's do this film. Well, that must be why, because you've seen it 3 times. So you must have watched it and then gone, let's do this
No, I
film.
Watched it. The first time I watched it was just to watch it. Here we go.
Welcome to episode 2 of The Madhouse. I'm Jimmy, and over there's Joey.
Hey.
Who chose Child's Play as the second episode, and therefore didn't choose Apostle for their first? Will Jimmy and Joey's friendship ever recover from this? Find out in the next series of The Madhouse Podcast, coming soon to a reluctant podcast app near you. Oh, okay. I suppose you can just find out now, you impatient motherfuckers.
I'm Jimmy, and over there's Joey.
Hey.
So, it was your choice this week. What
it was.
We got?
Well, I have Child's Play this week, as we announced on the
Bastard.
Last episode, if you'd listened to it. Tom Holland directed this, released in 1988.